Welcome to the Express Soul Health and Wellness Podcast. In each episode, you'll learn from experts about the best practices and technologies to live a happier, healthier, and hopefully a longer life. Here is your host, Claudia Erdenola.
Dear friends of Express Soul Health and Wellness Podcast, welcome back again. My name is Claudia Erdenola, and as you know, I am not a doctor. I am not a health coach. I am a professional engineer with curiosity to learn better ways to stay healthy for longer life. So I am here today to announce that we're going to have a conversation with Dr. Adam Wallet. And in our episode today, we're going to talk to Dr. Wallet about what is this new biology approach to modern medicine. He's going to explain to us how is this holistic approach to medicine and seeing a human in the entire body, mind, and soul makes a difference. So who is Dr. Wallet? Dr. Wallet is a physician. He completed his studies in medical school at the University of Arizona. He completed his residency in anesthesiology and pain management at the University of California, Irvine. His training included both complementary and alternative medicine at the Samuel Integrative Health Institute, along with advanced interventional procedures. He trained under Dr. Thomas Cowan, which is a dear friend of us here at Express Soul Health and Wellness Podcast. And currently, Dr. Wallet is practicing at the New Biology Clinic with Dr. Cowan. So, with no further ado, here is our interview with Dr. Adam Wallet. If you like the content of our podcast, subscribe to our channel and hit the notification button. Help us to spread the word on health and wellness. Also, check out our sponsors as we have great discounts for our listeners. And follow us in our social media outlets. We really appreciate your support. Thank you. So welcome, Dr. Adam Wallet, to our podcast. As I read your introduction, your bio is basically your experience on this holistic approach to medicine that we're going to be discussing today and enlighten our audience about this fascinated world of the holistic practices that at the end basically help us to be healthier and live longer. So my first question to you is based on your bio. I'm very curious to learn from your experience with the indigenous people in Ecuador, how your exposure to that view of medicine from the shamanic perspective really changed or impacted your view of holistic medicine as such.
Yeah. First off, thank you for having me. It's really exciting for me to join you today, Claudia, and all the listeners. Yeah. So I think that was a very impactful part in myself. I think growing up, I always grew up from a perspective of looking at things from a holistic kind of natural perspective, but also with a very strong, obvious influence from Western science. And kind of this looking into, you know, again, looking for things that weren't necessarily medication and stuff as such, but understanding how the body works and everything much in a context of modern, like Western science. So when I went to Ecuador for a study abroad, and a lot of my focus there was learning Spanish, but also indigenous medicine. All of a sudden, I started to see this different thought process that really answer to what I experienced, right? And this is what we really know is true is with our own experience, right? What is reality? It's what we're actually experiencing. But when we give that up to other dogmas or ideas of what's really causing illness or health, you know, it really starts to skew, I think, our view of things. And so really this idea is one of the big overlying features I saw that they brought is that there's many influences, right, in our environment or in that, you know, where we live that can influence our health and definitely how we live and how we, you know, view the world and all these things make a huge impact on our health. So I think that was one of the most groundbreaking things is that there are influences in our environment, in the atmosphere, changes of weather, changes of the electromagnetic fields around us. You know, those can be on large levels, including, you know, people around us and the emotions and stuff that we share have a very big influence on our health and well-being. And so that really started to shift my view of what really makes us healthy, what makes us ill. And so that was a really powerful experience.
Out of all of the specialties that you could go and get yourself into the realm of traditional medicine, so to speak, why was like that compelling argument that you said, okay, a reason that you said to yourself, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to practice medicine more in an alternative, holistic way. What was that reason you say, no, I don't want to go to one of these compartments, one of these departments, these specialties. I want to practice my medicine as I see a human as a whole. What make you do that?
Again, I think it's a lot of it comes through experience and actual seeing results of how people live healthy, fulfilled lives. Right. So I did go into traditional allopathic medicine and studied and specialized to some degree. But at the same time, I was always trying to, I guess, in a way, find a hybrid where we could take what I thought was maybe some of the good things from modern science and kind of blend them into more traditional ways of viewing our health. And what I came to realize is unfortunately, there's not really that possibility. At some point, it became clear that we needed to start like a new way, which is kind of the old way, right? Looking at things, how many ancient cultures understood how our bodies are. And a big part of it is that modern medicine and modern science looks and studies us and really all of biology in a mechanistic, materialistic way, right? We're kind of like, you're an engineer, so we start to look at us as machines, and we have these pumps, and we have all these things that are mechanistic. But when you look at nature and all around us, we're living, breathing, you know, beings. And so it totally changes how we should look and study ourselves. But really, kind of going back to your question, it was really always this understanding and knowing that the people that live the most vibrantly and most fulfilled lives weren't really following kind of the modern science, modern medicine paradigm, right? We see, especially with chronic illness, but even a lot of acute illness, that people get sicker and sicker and sicker when they follow these paradigms. And when people follow more of a holistic, natural approach and work with the body, which is always trying to heal, then we see people get better and improve.
We live in a society in where all of the pharmaceutical companies are, you know, bombarding us with advertisements for pills and treatments, injections, and all kind of things for every single circumstance that you may experience in your life. You know, oh, are your legs sore? Are you suffering from leg pain? We got a pill for you. Well, maybe that day you walk too much. You exercise a little more. No. And then people start thinking, I may need that. You know, so this, I would say, in a general population, the thinking that everything has to be solved by a pill, an intervention by the medicine. And I think that become more of the used to in our modern world. And you're right. We're going in the modern medicine approach that you're following, we're going back to how our ancestors used to understand the biology of the human. So this, and I love the term that the new biology, you're working on the new biology clinic with Dr. Tom Cowan, which was our guest here in the Espresso Health and Wellness podcast a few months ago. I think this is beautiful, understanding from the origin how a human being should be looked through when it's presenting some imbalance or some what we call disease. From more of a holistic approach instead of popping a pill, giving an intervention. No, maybe it's just masking a consequence, an expression of that pain, but it's not going to the root cause of it. And here is my next question to you, talking about that. In general, and this is, I know, is a very broad question, but in general, what is, if we can mention only one, a root of disease. What is that? Why we get sick?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, each person's perspective is going to be probably based off your own experience, right? If you really want to bring it down to what we see is real. I would say, again, in my experience with people, you know, mostly in Western society, the biggest root cause of disease comes from emotional factors. And so that's, Wow. Yeah, I think when you look at what fear does and what worry does on so many levels, I think that's probably the biggest. Again, and I don't think there's, again, I think you said general question, there's not just one cause of disease. But really, when we start to see how really these negative emotions and thoughts start to express themselves physically, you know, in our experience in the last few months with this new biology clinic, we're talking to a lot of people that are very health minded. And so they're very on top of their lifestyles as far as nutrition, a lot of times physical activity and these things. But on the emotional side, you know, there's a lot of issues going on there that aren't being addressed. And so with this modern life, again, it's just go, go, go. It's definitely designed, I think, to be a high stress situation, right? When you look to see how most people in Western society live, work is very stressful. There's an imbalance in life. It's just a constant go, go, go. And there's never a time to pause and reflect on things and listen to the body. Because when you talk about earlier about disconnect, and again, that's where the big problem is, we're disconnected from ourselves. We're disconnected from nature. We're disconnected from others around us. And all these things are critical for us to have a healthy and vibrant life. And so I think when we start to teach people that we need to pause, we need to start to listen to ourselves and start to see what is our body telling us, because our body is, you know, it's a beautiful creation that is able to self-heal when it has what it needs, and it's telling us what's going on if we only would stop and listen to what it's telling us. And so I think that's a big part of what we try to do, is we try to have people try to stop, hear their story, and try to help them navigate so they can learn how to listen to what their body's telling them. But a big part of it, for sure, I say would start on the emotional side, is, you know, especially in the recent years, is a lot of this perpetuated by a lot of fear and worry. And I think a lot of it may be rooted in good cause, but we also have to be able to manage that and learn ways to how we cope with that and handle that. And if we don't, then it will cause issues in our health.
This is so wonderful to hear this answer from a physician such as yourself, because you have been trained on the Western medicine, traditional medicine that we see, but you understand and tell us that root of that disease may be at the emotional level. And you're absolutely right. I hear this from the shamans in Central and South America that I met during my life. They do believe that the single cause of all diseases is called disconnection. They don't have all of these codes that we see in our medical system, where they have a code and a funky name for every single thing so they can bill you every time they treat you. They say, no, the single cause of disease is disconnection from the source, from the good source of water, good source of food, good source of relationships with the loved ones around you. Disconnection with nature, I mean, in general. So more and more we're seeing that, you know, our population lived mainly in big cities. So live surrounded by nature is not an option for a lot of people. But I would say through channels like this ones, where we really focus on prevention instead of sickness. So what we can do from our perspective, if we live in a city, what we can do to keep ourselves basically more connected with those good sources of water, nutrition, you know, food, good relationships. So I guess my main question here is, sure, I mean, a lot of people have the choice, and I think all of us, but ultimately a lot of people live in the cities. They like it. It's where they do their livings, you know, they work. in this is how they are educating their kids around big schools, whatever. The main point here is, from your perspective in a modern life today, what would be like your recommendation for the people on cities to stay connected, to be more aware of those pollutants, those toxins that are around and maybe the cause of disease?
I think this kind of goes back to what we just talked about, is being aware of our own perspective and own emotions when we start to see the reality of that we live in a very toxic world, very polluted world, like you said. I think this is, again, a big part of the struggle, is if we start to have awareness of things that we weren't aware about, like, okay, there's maybe the air's polluted and the water's polluted and the food's processed and toxic, and that fear of like, this is now going to make me sick, is not something we want to live in, right? We don't want to persist in that type of state. So a lot of this is trying to start from a very centered standpoint, saying, okay, I am where I am, and I'm going to do the best I can with this and feel good about it, that I am doing the best that I can with what I'm given, where I'm living. And that really, I think, is really what starts and shifts people in your whole entire health, right? Because we can build up resilience, right? We don't want to get into this fear state that, you know, I am, because that itself, I think, is what allows and creates a lot of illness. And so when we feel truly, I guess, empowered, like we do have ability to build up resilience, we don't need to eat, you know, this ideal diet, whatever that is, right? Because there's a million different probably thoughts on what that really is. We don't need to, you know, be in complete nature all the time and away from all this electromagnetic smog going around us. We don't necessarily have to drink, you know, pure water. And again, if we have the ability, and as much as we can, I think it does help us to continue to seek for those things. But at the end of the day, if we are so worried and consumed about all the toxins around us, then I think that itself will have a bigger negative impact than actually probably exposing ourselves to those toxins.
So during the COVID years, I will say all of the worry, all of the stress, that was totally necessary, in my opinion, the lockdowns that were a crime, in my opinion. But I will say that in general, and this is what I feel, all of this information that we receive through the many different outlets telling us, one doctor saying one thing, the other one saying another, the authorities telling us what to do, they were conflicting with what was good or not to do. So I guess all of that give a sense of a little, you know, disappointment from the medical establishment as such. In a lot of these channels, such as mine and many other podcasts, talking about prevention, you know, what we can do to stay healthy ourselves. Don't surrender your health to someone to tell you what to do. You can take a control of your body. You can take control of what you eat in, on your feelings, how you can conduct yourself and express that love and understanding of nature and bringing yourself in more balance. We are responsible for this container body existence life that we have. So I guess that the way that I would like to see or understanding this preventive side of medicine, which is what we're talking here about and making the people aware of it, is, and I like to picture this as a wheel. I call it the wheel of health and wellness, which in every single spoke, you know, is like many spokes, it's not only one. For that wheel to work perfectly fine, if we go in our bicycle through our lives, let's say those wheels, the wheel of wellness and health, has many spokes. And one spokes is nutrition. So yeah, we live in big cities. We need to do supplementation. We're not consuming the foods that our ancestors were consuming, where they have these amazing soils full of nutrients. No, we're consuming foods that are available in supermarkets. So we need to supplement. So this is when, you know, Dr. Cowan's Gardens come handy. We have these great supplements and powders that we can mix with our foods. We got another spoke in our wheel of wellness. It can be, more holistic medicine. And this is where the New Biology Clinic comes handy. And you or the other people working at the New Biology Clinic come to the help. We have another spokes on the wheel of wellness can be infrared sauna therapies that helps to detox, to, you know, totally the body and release all of those toxins. And if you practice it daily, are many, many research out there, you know, proven that is very good for cardiovascular health to prevent degenerative diseases. I mean, another spoke of that can be the ideal diet. As you said, each person is different. Ideal is depends on what you need. So all of these spokes on the wheel of wellness and have to come together. And what I see in modern medicine is that the disconnection, let's say, is to think about that, I am feeling a pain in my shoulder. So I have to go to the orthopedic doctor and he's going to look at what? He's not going to look what happened. How are you feeling? Are you having a lot of stress lately? No. Are you sleeping well? No. Let me see your shoulder. So he's looking at specifically that part of your body, prescribing a protocol only for that part of the body. Maybe what happened there was a manifestation of something totally different. I will say that all of these New Biology Clinic and the many other approaches that are out there in the holistic approach to the human health are coming now very strongly into the awareness of the population, where they see that the traditional medicine is not supporting the needs of that human as they need. So I want you to tell us now, working in this new biology clinic, the approach to this holistically way to see medicine. Somebody comes to the clinic, how you guys go through the evaluation of a patient, for example?
I've always found like the best way to start is to meet the person where they're at. And so that's kind of where we try to meet them where they're at, instead of us setting the bar as here's where we need to go, and getting, you know, endless amounts of information. Like you said, as a lot of this is just data collecting, right? Encoding and that. But we're really interested in trying to meet the individual where they're at, because, you know, each and every part of our life, even as an individual, we, like you said, we have different needs, right? So that's where you see this gets very personalized and very individualized, is because even one individual, you know, one day to the next, or one stage of life to the next, our needs are so much different. So we really have to get away from these protocols, what I call like cookie cutter medicine, where everyone, you know, everyone has a certain protocol for this or that, is we have to look at the individual. So we really start with where they're at, and then try to follow the journey, right? Because a lot of times, if we kind of help guide them, it'll come out through the conversation about where things kind of went awry. And many times there's some really big flags that kind of signal where things started kind of changing. And sometimes the person kind of has, a lot of times they have an innate sense that, okay, I kind of had a sense something was going off here, but I went and saw doctors and they told me it had nothing to do with how I was living, or had nothing to do with the stress, you know, why I had the heart problems. And so then they're kind of told and kind of convinced by others that those things don't affect their health. But that's kind of the starting point, at least, is finding where they're at and then listening to their personal story and their personal journey, and then trying to help glean from there. Because many times health, at least in chronic issues, are aggregation of factors, right? From a physical standpoint, if you're walking down the path and a coconut falls and hits you in the head and you have a headache, you know, that's a pretty obvious one. But a lot of times in health, there might be multiple different factors. Like you said, there can be emotional stuff. Maybe we're in a dehydrated state and then we have strong, you know, stress, emotional or physical, and then something happens there. We have a deficiency of something, and then something else compounds that. And then we start to see that the body starts to dysfunction and starts to tell us, hey, we're having some problems here. So then it's, you know, helpful to pause and say, hey, what's going on here? And a lot of times when we look at things, you know, it's not as complex as it's supposed to be in modern medicine. These things are, you know, a lot of these things have been understood again by former, you know, cultures that our ancestors.
Sounds good. And again, I will say that our modern medicine is great at acute care. I mean, you know, fix, break. You have a broken bone, go to emergency room. They will do a very good job fixing it. You know, I mean, they have a place. But what I see that they feel really, really short is in chronic illness. Because again, it's trying to patch in the symptoms and not addressing the real cause of that specific health condition on the person became chronically ill. Because guess what? It's not finding the cure of that specific problem. And something that I want to point here is real data is telling us that the average time that a physician, a doctor spends with a patient is between 5 to 7 minutes at the best. You can't get the handle on really what's going on with an individual, especially if it's a chronic illness, in 5 minutes. And that is very sad because this is where most of the population have as a counselor in medicine in most of the situations. So having this personalized, this individual approach to medicine, I think is obviously much better. You have a lot more understanding of what are those multiple facets of what's going on with that person. You know, is and again, it's not only one. This traditional approach to medicine is just very simplistic and is just making the body like a real part, as you said, as a system alone, nor as the spokes on the wheel of wellness, as I like to picture this, when each thing is part of it, is exercising, is nutrition, is your doctor, is infrared saunas, supplements, is a compounding pharmacies, because if you need something that, you know, a medicine that is made for you, is made specifically for you, tailored to your needs, not like, you know, the commercial that are they're thinking to fix everybody with the same pill. I just don't believe that.
Can I just comment on a couple of those things real quick? Yeah, no, I think those are really important things. I agree 100% with as well, is that from the modern medicine side, again, it's important. I think their strength is definitely the physical part, the acute care, emergency care. There are some really things that, you know, I think they excel on. And so I think that's important to note that it's not all, but definitely with a chronic health, is you see a deterioration of health, you know, with every facet of chronic health approach with modern medicine. So I think that's mostly, and even obviously a lot of approaches to acute illness with, you know, germ theory, and this is also can be affect some of the acute health, but definitely there's a huge benefit, I think, to some of the modern medicine emergency care. And then the other side is, like you said, is a lot of the natural healing can become, in a way, just shifting, taking the same paradigm, the same model or view of things, very specialized, and then substituting, you know, the pharmaceutical drug now for a natural herb. But again, it's based off a very specialized approach, which doesn't lend to healing, because I agree 100%. This is very comprehensive, and looking at it like a wheel is the way I kind of look at it. There's multiple facets of this. When they all come together to make the whole, then we have a very healthy, you know, high functioning, vibrant life. But when we start to specialize in, like, you know, Tom Cowan says, is when he first started off in medicine, he was convinced that he was going to basically heal everyone by food. And so food, we know, is an important part of this. Like you said, one spoke, what you find out is there's a lot of people that go down that road for decades and they try every single diet known to man and they still struggle with health issues. So you can't, if it's an emotional issue, you're not going to heal it by, you're not going to eat yourself out of that issue, right? And so again, a lot of times it's all in conjunction. This thing leads to another and they all affect each other. So that's why it's kind of coming back to balance and living just that natural lifestyle, eating the right food, making sure there's movement involved, right? Practicing breath work, getting out in nature, again, handling our stress, our emotions, relaxations, relationships, keeping those, because that's where a lot of conflict comes, right? Is taking care of each other, And when we do that, then we see that we can really live a healthy and free life. Yeah.
You know, I had a doctor here at my podcast a few months ago, Dr. Grutadaria. And he's a specialist on the microbiome. And it was so interesting and profound what he said, because he said, Claudia, when we think about the microbiome, which is basically that living organism living through all our body, is not only inside in your gut, is in your skin, is in your eyes, is everywhere. But when we look at that, and he was telling us, I had patients that come to me with a lot of problems with depression. I say, with depression, and you are not specialized in microbiome. I say, because it's a beautiful, think about like a marriage between the microbiome and the emotions. So if the emotional side is not healthy, is not giving the right instructions to the microbiome, so your body will react totally different to the foods you are eating. And then is a disconnection between both. But at the same time, if your body is not healthy, and you know, your emotions are gonna be disrupted as well. So is a relationship. I was so surprised, because it was a very interesting thing. He said, like, Claudia, a lot of the roots of, you know, a lot of people with depression, we're finding out that depression is not, we can't give them pills for depression. We have to go and see what biologically is happening. It may be on the microbiome. And then it's fixing the emotions, the microbiome together. It's not one thing. It's a compounding of elements for that person to be healthy. So it's so much what you're saying right now. And I think this is where these channels become so popular. People are finding information and learning new ways on thinking about themselves and new protocols that they can be implementing that have nothing to do with medicines of interventions. If they have them, they don't have to leave them if they like them and it's working, but they can be doing something else to keep themselves healthier for longer life. So let me ask you something, Dr. Wallet. I know that during your practice, and even though you did your residency in anesthesiologist, which basically was with your intention to help the people with pain, your passion for the heart and the functioning of the heart is at your heart, let's say that, is what you're really, really passionate about. Why?
Yeah, that's a hard thing to maybe understand, really, you know, because some of these things are just so deep that they're just so natural. And just, I guess, just that natural attraction for me has always been there since as far back as I can really remember. Like, even as a child, I always just felt like if you could do anything to help someone, it's going to involve their heart. That was kind of like the key, right, to unlocking life in general. And so a lot of that, again, through somewhat of a skewed view because of the view of modern science and what the heart was thinking of course, this is circulatory, you know, as far as the physical aspects of how important the heart is, it pumps our lifeblood, right? And how important that is. But then looking really at the deeper level of the heart and how it has to do with us, with where, you know, we know love comes from and forgiveness and these things really deep into the heart of us is kind of, I think, where even a deeper level of the heart in the interest of the heart came, you know, comes into play. So, yeah, I mean, again, you think there'd probably be something more profound there, but I guess for me, it was just something so innate and so natural and always there as an attraction that really to help people with their overall body, it always involves trying to help them from the heart standpoint.
The heart is one of those, and I won't say that it's an organ. I would say it's a system. It's so mysterious and magical. And if you think about it at a more deeper level, how the beginning of life for a human starts by the cellular subdivision, it started on the heart. My husband, he's an American, and he said, you Latinos, 3 out of 5 words you say, it has to be something with the heart. It's so true. It's so true. For I mean, we put the heart in our food. We put the heart in our words. We put the heart in our songs. But at the deep level, I'll say the heart is the way we think as well. We used to think that we think with the brain, but it's actually by in looking at all those videos and reading all of those research from the Heart Institute, for example, the Heart Math Institute, they are telling us that the electrical impulse on the thoughts started on the heart first. It goes the other way. It's not from the brain down to the heart. It's the other way around. So I have to say that all of that electric mechanism, keeping all of that system working, is very sophisticated. And as an engineer, I'm very fascinated by it. I know that part of the sophistication is making something so complex and explaining it in a simple way. That is the beauty. So how our hearts work, really, if it's not a pump.
Again, I think it begins with the electrical part of it, right? That's where the mechanism is. And that's why we see when we start to see diseases of the heart with arrhythmias and issues of the heart, it's more of an energy issue than anything else, right? So that's, I think, really from the heart where it emanates energy from us, then you're exactly right. Then even in like scripture, and this refers to thoughts of the heart, which is totally contrary to the way modern science looks at all of how we think in the brain. But I think, again, the center really comes from the heart. Like, it's deep in my heart. You said emotionally or even thoughts, like that's really what drives, like she followed her heart to do this. And so as far as how then that expresses physically is that, again, we're taught, again, the heart is a pump, is a mechanism, like mechanistic pump that's pushing blood through the body. And really what the heart is doing is it's more of a regulatory effect, right? So it's, and what it's doing is it's spiraling energy. So just like everywhere in nature where water spirals around, it's vortexing and spiraling that blood and energy through our body in a way where when it contracts, it's squeezing out and it's sucking in at the same time. So it's a totally different view than pumping and forcing something through the body, where it's attracting in the blood and squeezing it out and vortexing this energy circulatory system. So, and again, that's really at the core of moving the blood and the energy through our body comes from the heart. And so it does affect so many things, because from the heart, then it flows to to the other parts, and our thoughts come from there. And then, like you said, then that relates back into the gut. And so it's all connected. We want to separate all these different issues. But even if we're looking to like the muscle skeletal system, right, how important the heart has into getting circulation and oxygen and nutrients to there and the flow of energy, and how important it is to move then, and the effects that movement have in our body to keeping that circulatory and supporting that. So again, they all support each other and they're all interconnected. But if we have to start at some place, I think a lot of things that come back to where the heart is, right? And I think that's where, when we let these negative thoughts, the negative effects of all the influences of media or whatever around us and our emotions to bring us down, it really affects us at the heart. And that really precipitates into a lot of the illness that we see then.
You're absolutely right. And actually, so I would like to think about the heart more as the director of the orchestra, just making sure all of that symphony on the system works fine, instead of a pump, because he's not the only one doing the work. He's more like the director of the orchestra, the regulatory entity, so to speak. And it just, while you were talking, I just got this memory. Back in 2015, I did have a life-threatening condition, health condition, and I was rushed to the hospital. I was bleeding overnight, and I bled about 60%+ of my blood in very, very short period of time. When they got me there, my heart was beating very slow because it was very little supply of blood. I saw the tunnel. I died for a second. They brought me back. my husband brought me back, and that was when I saw they were taking me to the emergency to put me transfusions and everything. And anyway, that was the beginning of all of these initiatives for me to waking up people to take control of their health and researching and nor eating the first protocol that the doctor say, this is the only solution for you. That's not true. Go and look for more. Take control of that health. Anyways, back to my story. Next day, when I opened my eyes and I saw all of those faces with concern, they were all with bad faces looking at me. Like, anyway, they told me that I was under the, you know, I was receiving a supply of blood, trying to bring me back, whatever. What happened a few days after, I lost my hair, my nails, my skin started peeling off. And I called my doctor. I was very scared to see that process happening. It was very scary for me. I mean, I it wasn't not like I was peeling off like from the sunburn. No, it was this thing was coming all like I had a facial mask and I was peeling off my nails. My hair was coming in chunks. I was terrified. And then I called her and I asked her what's going on with me. And she said, Claudia, here is the beauty of the human body. And this is spectacular because the very few blood that you have left was sent to the essential organs in your body, which means my eyes totally get deteriorated. And she said, which means you can live without your hair. You can live without your fingernails. You can change your skin. But what's protected with that little supply of blood was your heart. That was the first organ that your body was trying to protect, to keep alive. Even if it was low, it still was there for you to get you through. So for me, the heart as a system, as mysterious as it is fascinated. And I think at the center of all of the human health, that is one of the systems that is more intriguing to me than any other.
Yeah. That's a fascinating story. Yeah, thanks for sharing
that.
Yeah.
It's very emotional for me because here I am telling the story. So my heart, it was there for me when I needed. That's a good thing. So let me ask you something, Dr. Wallet. We were talking about Dr. Cowan, Tom Cowan, which is a dear friend of ours here at Express All Health and Wellness Podcast. How working with him has impacted your perspective of the entire health and practicing medicine under this concept of the new biology?
Well, I can just simply say that he's impacted me more than anyone else has in my career. So, and that's, you know, going through like 13 years of schooling and training before I started practicing, and then about a 10-year career in chronic pain management. So I came across and worked with a lot of people for many years, but I think in a short while of spending time with Dr. Cowan, with Tom, he had amazing impact just on his perspective. And again, it was, I think it's sound thinking, you know, very sound thinking that really leads you to starting to understand what is true and what's not true. And quickly, when you can start to discard a lot of the, you know, deceptions of how health is, then they can really start to distill down what really matters. And so again, a big part of it was the approach to connecting to the person and helping in a way, you know, refine that skill of how do we help someone that's lost. And, again, a lot of times I've taken a journey that have interacted with many, many different physicians and specialists and still, you know, seeing worsening and worsening health issue. You know, how do we help them through this complex, you know, maze to really find out what's going on? Because a lot of times people are kind of at a point where like, I just feel like giving up, right? I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and tried and spent so much money and so much time doing this that they're ready to kind of throw in the towel. So to try to help them go through that journey. And I think most people appreciate just the connection. Because like earlier, you mentioned that the average person spends maybe 5 minutes or so with the doctor. And so that brings the point of the system is flawed, right? because a lot of the physicians, it's, you're in a system that's set up to fail. Like, how do you develop enough trust and rapport to really get down to someone sharing like something that's very personal that might be really at the core of what's going on? You need some time to start to talk to the person, to trust them, and then get down to some of these core issues if it's, you know, something that someone else is going to be able to help to open your eyes to what's going on, and then maybe kind of help bring awareness of how your body can heal from this, because that's ultimately the goal. So, but yeah, I know Dr. Cowan is a completely different approach than let's just, you know, find out, well, you know, a symptom or two, and let's just throw some kind of protocol at it. It's about listening to the person, helping them to discover, you know, what's at the root of the issue, the cause. And then also at that point, you know, bringing up things that could be helpful for them to heal. Because like we said earlier, is we don't live necessarily in places where we have access to everything, you know, so someone in one place of the world may have access to something else that others may have, and vice versa. But I think there's always a way through this, right? When we look at, you know, where we're at, there's always a way, especially again, if we start with the most important part, we always have our heart. And if we start there and trying to correct that, then some of these other things aren't as important, you know?
Absolutely. So. And again, we're not going back to live in rural America. It's more, I wish, I mean, that would be ideal and beautiful, but the reality is that our cities are getting bigger and bigger. You know, I live in South Florida, and the amount of people moving to this part of the country is incredible every day. And it's not slowing down. It's like after COVID, they were just flooding down here. And you know, I don't blame it. It's a nice place to live. I mean, the weather is beautiful, and we have a lot of freedoms that other people don't enjoy in the other places on the world, on the country and the world. That's fine. But so we, in this modern life, you know, we need to really get back to that wheel of wellness, taking care of our bodies and our minds and our souls, because we are a compound of all of those. And this is always what I am up to here in this channel, just bring this awareness. And my next topic with you has a lot to do with toxicity. Because again, we're not going back to live in rural America. Not for everybody is a choice. You know, they can't. So we are surrounded here in this modern world for a lot of electronics. In our own body have an electromagnetic system. We understand how the electricity works from the heart and in the rest of the body. So we see that the interaction that we have with electronics, and especially with the cell phones, and wireless devices all around us, may be causing some disruptions on the biology of humans. And I have here, actually, I've been looking a lot into this. It is close to my heart. And I'm telling you why. Talking about the heart again. You see, the Latin in me, I can't help it. Okay, so we're talking about the radiation from the cell phones. And I was researching, she's Dr. Deborah Davis. She is an epidemiologist, toxicologist, and she's the founder and president of a group called Environmental Health Trust. I saw her on national TV, and I saw many of her videos on YouTube where she exposed the research that they conducted and her organization on the disruption on health and the health threat that the use of electronics, cell phones, and wireless devices close to the body can cause a lot of problems. I mean, this is not that the technology as such, because again, we don't gonna be stopping to use our phones. We are using them. We're communicating to them. In many cases, a phone is an office. You know, you see your emails, you see your health records on your phone, you see reminders of your children activities, you have, even your parents' birthdays reminded on the phone. Your phone, the life gravitates about these devices. So we're not questioning the use of the devices, how we use it, and how the wrong use of those devices can cause disruption on the human biology. I want your perspective on that issue.
First off, is I think it's when you, if you take an honest look at research that's been done, and I don't think there's been the full buy-in, of course, of modern science to look at it, unfortunately, but there's, you know, indisputable, very strong evidence, you know, thousands of studies that have looked at the effects of these wireless radiation, these signals, and how they impact, you know, living biology in general, whether it's plants or animals or humans. And it's very disruptive. So that, I think that's indisputable if you take an honest look there, because there's tens of thousands of studies that show that. I think as far as, like you said, the more important part then is, okay, we understand that, then how do we live in the best way possible, right? How do we live in this environment? And I think there's a couple factors that you can glean from a lot of the research that has been done, like on ionizing radiation. So like X-ray radiation, that there's been a lot more research on that in modern science. And we see that it's usually exposure over time, right? So time and distance are two of the most critical factors. Like you said, is they're here. So if we're going to use them, how do we use them? And what are the really the risk, right? And so there's a couple different factors, but really when we look at it from a simplistic of time and distance, the wireless devices is, when we're using them, try to distance them as much as we can from our body. Like you said, don't place it on your head. I mean, the inserts actually state such as that, even with their flawed science and not looking at it from the correct perspective of what is it doing to the electrical body that we have. But that being said, is distance is your friend. So radiation typically goes down exponentially. So put it on speakerphone. Don't be putting it next to your head. Use headsets. Those things make a massive difference because, again, there's a lot of use of it. So it adds up over time, that exposure. And then there are things we can do just to decrease the time and use of it, right? So if we don't need it, then turn it off. So for instance, like at night, when we're in a healing state, when we're repairing everything from the day's work and all the activities, and we're in that rest and healing state, that's a really good time to turn off those devices, turn off your Wi-Fi router, turn off your cell phone, put on airplane mode. If it's going to be, you know, around you anywhere, because that's going to decrease your exposure a lot. So I think those two things alone are probably two of the most important things to do, is just increase the distance where you can, you know, setting having on your body, put a hands, you know, arms width apart, put it on speakerphone if you're using it without a headset, when you're watching videos or talking on it. That'll make a big difference. And then turn it off, you know, especially like at night or other times where you're not using it. So you're not exposing yourself in those times. And then there's also things we can do internally as well, right? Because I think there's no doubt that some individuals are more sensitive to these than others, right? So different times in our life, like when we're in a growth state, like children are much more sensitive because of their rapid growing. So I think trying to shield them more and distance them is even very important. Different tissues that we have are more sensitive. So the tissues like our neurologic, our nervous system, our bone marrow, our reproductive organs, these are going to be very sensitive. The heart is electrical organ is going to be very sensitive to it. So there are things we can do then, because again, when we look at it, these are non-native. These are unnatural frequencies that aren't found anywhere in nature, and they're disruptive to our electrical system and our living bodies. So, there are things we can emanate from natural frequencies, natural things like shungite, biogeometry, and these things that can help to mitigate where we then bring in more natural frequencies around us and ground ourselves, doing grounding and bringing some of these natural remedies in to mitigate. Again, I don't think we want to give a false sense of like, okay, we can just all of a sudden just put it on our body and use it extensively. I think, again, a realistic, reasonable approach of doing some of these very simple things, distancing, turning it off, you know, decreasing the time and using some medication, all of a sudden changes everything where we can not have near as much effect for them.
That's great. And for the parents listening out there, please be aware of your children having the devices all the time, so close to them. Actually, in that research from Dr. Deborah Davis on young males, having the phones on their front pocket, so close to the testes, that can be very dangerous from reproductive health in the future years. Also, Dr. Wallet, we see these teenagers, and again, it's just the normal life they're living. We understand that. But at night, they start talking to their friends, and in many cases, and this is a study conducted on kids that have been repeatedly falling asleep on top of the phone. How dangerous is that? So they fall asleep on the pillow, and the phone is right there because they were talking to boyfriends or girlfriends or friends at night, and they fall asleep on top of the phone. So parents out there, just always make sure that the kids don't have those phones for longer period of time so close to their bodies. I think it's just a healthy measurement that anybody can be doing and preventing, future disruptions on the human biology by using those devices so close to the body. Something else, and this is my closing thoughts here, Dr. Wallet. I can be talking to you about so many things, but something, again, we are trying to give people some tips on how they can improve the wheel of wellness, and all of those little spokes component of that balanced life and better life is the quality of the water. We live in our cities all across America. Our waters are recycled waters. I know that because I'm an engineer and I have a day job. So I know that in our cities, the waters are recycled. I mean, this is not a secret. We know that. What we can do if we live in cities to get a better quality water, because we know that the water is very important for humans, the biology of the humans.
Yeah, we're mostly made up of water, right? When we look at it from a volume standpoint, 70% water. So water definitely is important. And there's a lot more to water than I think most of us have been led to believe, right? Not all water is the same. It might look the same, right? It might look clear and clean, but really there's a huge difference in waters that are really help to, support our health, which again, the waters in our body that are structured are going to behave and allow the functioning of our body completely different. They'll affect our energy and they'll affect the functioning of our entire body because every tissue, again, is mostly made up of water in addition to the proteins and the minerals and stuff. So I think there's a few things to consider with water. The first part, like you said, is because of the pollutants of it, is making sure that we're getting clean water. So I think that's a starting place, right? Is making sure we don't want to be slowly poisoning ourselves by putting in water that's toxic, right? And that is, from a lot of the city municipal systems, they're treating these things with chemicals in order to clean it. And that again, that's part of the cleaning system. But then there can be further steps to clean it once it gets to our house. So like the chlorination and the fluoride, these things are known toxins, is we want to filter those out. So I think that's the first step, is doing a good filtration. If you're bringing in, municipal or almost any water, it could be well water and there could be toxicities in there in that hydrological atmospheric cycle as well. So first, I think foremost would be getting clean water, filtering it. But again, then at that point, if we have clean water, it could still be something that we call bulk or dead water. It doesn't function the same because it's destructured. It's chaotic. The angles of that H2O, hydrogen and oxygen, is in a non-functional way. So it doesn't behave the same. It's not that living water. Like if you get into a waterfall or go in the ocean and you feel that energy, that's what happens when you have highly structured water. And so the next couple parts of it would be structuring and energizing that water. And so there's many, many different ways you can do that. And again, water in nature is always vortexing. So there's many different vortexing devices that you can put your water through and energize it by exposing it to the full spectrum of energies. Again, in nature, water is going through, and it sounds maybe a little bit silly, but the different sounds of nature and the different frequencies coming from nature energize that water. And it's palpable when you go again in a river, a stream of, a spring fed stream, and you feel that energy in that water. That's real. And then the last part is maybe the key part is to balance it, because water and minerals are inseparable as far as their function. So we need to have balanced minerals of water. For instance, like your car battery, if you have distilled water in there and there's no minerals, it has no charge. right? So water by itself, it needs to be balanced. And also like minerals just sitting in a lump don't really serve us. But together in our bodies, when our bodies have balanced minerals, those electrolytes, that's where you see again how the charge is really as the media in our body where it goes through is the water with proper balance of minerals. So I think those are just a few simple things that really bring into light, because when we look at water, it looks clear, it's good, we're drinking out of this plastic bottle, you know, from the store, that is dead bulk water that's, you know, obviously put in, there's probably some even toxicity of different things in there. So at the end of the day, it's important to either make sure we're getting very, very clean water source or that we're filtering it and then trying to energize and structure that water and then making sure we're getting proper balance of minerals, because we see a huge deficiency of minerals in people that are causing a lot of issues. When we don't have proper mineralization, then our body doesn't function, because then the water in our body isn't doing what it can do and should do.
Sounds good. And again, some of those devices to move the, you know, like the spiral of the water, some of those devices are at Dr. Cowan's store. I saw them there. So people may ask where they can find them. They can find them at Dr. Cowan's store. And we got links here in the description box for all of that. And also for the audience out there, all the information of Dr. Adam Wallet is going to be included down below. If you feel that you want to address your health in a more holistic way, you can consult with him, and all the information is going to be placed in our description box at this podcast. So, Dr. Wallet, this has been an amazing conversation, and I really appreciate your insight into understanding how the human biology works. How is this new approach to modern medicine going back to the ancestral way of looking at a human as a whole, as a complete system, from body, mind, and soul, the holistic way of looking at a human biology. So thank you very much, and I hope we have you here in the future. We can talk about a specific topic, and I want to ask our listeners to give us the comments. Let us know what you think about this episode. If you would like to bring Dr. Wallet to talk about a specific subject, we would love to hear from you. And then we can have you here in another time. That would be amazing.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Claudia, for inviting me here. I really appreciate the opportunity, and I really enjoyed our visit as well. So look forward to, and I'd be happy to join again. And hopefully everyone was able to glean something from this. But yeah, really, really enjoyed our visit today. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Express Soul Coffee. Why to settle for those conventional, mass-produced commercial coffees that are not healthy for you? Drink Express Soul Coffee, authentic coffee grown and roasted for optimal health. Express Soul Coffee is the holistic approach to coffee. If you like the content of our podcast, please leave a comment below, and a 5-star review will help us to keep our content more available for other people to find this information and find it useful as well. We appreciate your comments, and also subscribing to our podcast. If you didn't do it before, subscribe right here and hit the notification button so you will be notified every time we bring new content to our channel. Also, please visit our links below in our description box. We got affiliate links there with great discounts for you, our listeners. And remember, until next time, health is wealth for the body, mind, and soul. Take care.
Thank you very much for listening. And if you like the information that we shared with you today, please subscribe to the Express Soul Health and Wellness podcast and follow us in the social media outlets of your choice. Until next time, please remember, health is wealth for the body, mind, and soul.